G. I'm a grateful recovered alcoholic, and wow, I feel good being at this meeting. It's pretty big. I was really happy to hear Emily talk, so because when I heard her accent, I knew I wasn't alone. I was gonna have somebody else here that talked like me. And then I heard Rick down there from Alabama, and I see he's wearing an Alabama sweater. So heck, I'm feeling right at home now. Yes, I am. So my sobriety date, as just said, is February 23rd, 2007, and for that I am so grateful. You know, these day counts and everything just takes me back, and literally it is just one day at a time. And I never thought in a million years, I came into this program at 47 years old, I thought there's no way that I would ever have this type of sobriety. I was about to die when I got here. I got a home group. It's a Zoom meeting. We meet on Wednesday nights at 6 p.m. and we have people from all over the world, like that's on this meeting, that comes to our meeting. It's called the Get in the Boat meeting, and it's a really good meeting. I have a sponsor here in Alabama. And also I have a history sponsor and a spiritual sponsor, and these guys have kept me really some good recovery. And you know, today being asked to speak on Easter really for me gives a significance. It really was humbling to be asked to speak. And you know, now in the big book, I want to start off by letting this be known that in the big book it talks about that. Today, I'm going to speak of God. I'm going to give you my journey, my relationship with my higher power, and how it started, because it didn't start out the way it is today. It's been a journey, it's been piecemeal. But in the big book, it says that we're going to speak of God, but understand that we're speaking of a God of our own understanding. This does not mean that you have to choose my God or anything like that. I'm not preaching to you about a God. Your God of your understanding is what you're looking for, because we need a power. I had to have a power that could solve my problems. Lack of power was my dilemma. That's what y'all taught me when I got here. And it made sense to me because I'd been trying to control the world my whole life, and it just never seemed to work. And my only solution when it wouldn't work and people wouldn't act the way I wanted them to act or do the things that I wanted them to do, I got resentful. So I understood that. I didn't know what resentment meant, but when y'all told me it meant peed off, then I knew what that meant. So I started looking at these things, and I could see that I didn't have the power to make people act and do the things I wanted to do. And God knows I didn't have the power of my alcoholism, because you know, when my son was born in 1982, I said right then, I'm going to stop living the way I'm living. I'm going to start going home and being a good husband, and I'm going to be a good father, you know? So I got sober in 2007. So that tells you how much power I had over my alcoholism and my drinking, because you want to know something? I meant that with all my heart. I meant it with everything, that I was going to stop living that way. But I didn't have the power to stop living that way. And I'm sure that there's people on here that can relate to that. You know, I was taught in the beginning, when I heard people give their talk, to always look for the similarities and not the differences. There's going to be a lot of things that you're going to be, oh, I'm not like that guy. But I guarantee you, a lot of people on here swore off. And they meant it with everything that they had. That was it. You know, Bill W., he swore on his family Bible to Lois. Swore, wrote in it. That was it. Wasn't going to drink no more. And once again, he ended up in the asylum, in the hospital with Dr. Siltworth. You know, this is a powerful illness. It's the only illness in the world that tells us we're not sick. There ain't nothing wrong with me. Everybody leave me alone, I'd be all right. They're my problem. you know, the whole time I'm just as sick as I can be. So I'm supposed to tell you what I was like and what happened and what I'm like now. And what I was like, I just shared a lot of it with you. And when I got here, I was a really sick person. I was sick all facets of my life, health, spiritual, everything was just sick. The way I lived my life was sick. The human being I was sick. And I was literally dying. I only weighed about 160 pounds when I got here. That's the reason I didn't even think I'd get 10 years. But God had a different plan for me. And that's what I want to talk about. I got here through the jail system. I got released out of jail. I had a case that had been turned over to the grand jury, and which alcohol and others was involved. And I got released to a halfway house in Birmingham. And when I got there, the guy there, I tell you, he hit me right between the eyes. He asked me if drinking and everything was my only problem, and I told him yes. He said, "Really?" I said, "Oh yeah, other than drinking, I've always done real well." He said, "Well, you seem pretty smart." I told him, "Oh, well, yeah, I mean, I've done good. I've owned my own businesses." He goes, "Oh, you're intelligent." And I was like, "Well, yeah, I've owned my own houses. I mean, I started giving him my resume now. I mean, this guy, and he said, "Well, let me ask you a question." He says, "You seem real intelligent." He says, "How old was you the last time that you had a curfew?" I said, "A curfew? I don't know, man. 12, 13 years old?" And he says, "You 47?" I said, "Yeah." He says, "Well, guess what? You 47 years old and you got a curfew. You're going to be in this house by 9 o'clock at night or you're going back to jail. That's how intelligent you are." Man, I did not like this guy. Who the heck did he think he was talking to? He didn't know me to talk to me like that. That was the first man that ever in my life told me the truth about me. He literally told me the truth right where I was and what my life was going to be. Right where I was, he told me the truth about me. Nobody ever hit me between the eyes like that. I did not like this guy. He told me there's a blue book in there. He said, "If you get it and read it, you might find out that drinking is not your problem. You're your problem. You don't know how to live." That man's name is Marvin G. And every February 23rd now, for 19 years, I've called him and thanked him from the bottom of my heart for telling the truth about who I was and where I was. I stayed there in that halfway house for a total of about 3 months. And I was released and I started going to outside meetings. And Marvin ended up being my sponsor for while I was at the house. And when I got outside of the house, I got another sponsor. His name was Tim. And so this is where this journey starts that I want to share with you today. It's called My Journey with My Higher Power that I choose to call God. And I want to share that with you today. So when I was a little kid, I was raised up, a lot of people here in the South, as well as my drinking. You probably heard country songs talk about my drinking. It's a family tradition. My grandpa was a moonshiner. There you go. Explains it right there. It's just what we do in the South. We drink, we fight, we chase women. That's just how we come up. Y'all heard the rock and roll songs and the country songs. They're not a myth. We live it. And that's how I came up. And that's how my drinking was. And, we go to these, you hear about the Bible Belt being the South. So I was forced to go to church, and that Southern Baptist preacher, he was striking down sinners every Sunday, going around that steeple, just striking down sinners. And man, after I had lived the way I had lived, y'all, for 47 years, the sickness that had been in my spirit, I knew that I was going to hell. There was no doubt about it, and so I didn't know how in the world I could build a relationship with that God that I had been raised up with, because when I was a kid, I was one of those humbayaka kids, man. I really, I loved the church and going to Sunday school and all that stuff. But after my life, you know, at 12 years old, when I got my first drunk, you know, God went straight ahead and Eddie took a hard right. And that hard right had went on for 47 years. And, you know, well, actually 38 years that I was in active alcoholism. But, you know, and that second sponsor of mine, Tim, I started out with my higher power being the creator of the butterfly. That's what I started with. Whatever created a butterfly, I ain't never seen no man create a butterfly and it fly away. So I said, well, whatever created the butterfly, that's my higher power. That's how I used to share in meetings. My higher power is the creator of the butterfly. And that's where I started, y'all. And, you know, that sponsor, Tim C, I was telling him, you know, and he asked me one day, and I told him, you know, my whole story about how I'd been raised and how God wanted nothing to do with me. And he told me, he says, Eddie, he says, that God that you was raised with, he said, listen, did you ever think about this? He said, when Jesus came here and walked, he walked with sinners. He walked with the prostitutes, the thieves, and the murderers. He didn't walk with the priests. They're the ones that killed him. He walked with people like you. He said, Eddie, I'm convinced that that God of your childhood loves people like us. He said, he just loves us. And man, that wall came down. He says, you know, he says he'll forgive you, Eddie, for anything and everything. That was a weight lifted off. You know, I had skeletons in my closet, my fifth step that I told that man. And he was able to listen to him and not judge me. And he told me that that God would forgive me for all those things. And I believed him. And I believed that word, that God of that understanding would forgive me for all those things. And where's my counter at? There it is. So I believed that it would forgive me. So I started piecemealing that relationship back. It took time, took years. I started piecemealing that relationship back though. And I started going, you know, the weird thing was when I would start going to church, though, I'd hear AA preacher be up there talking, and all I could hear was AA. Y'all know there are big book, most of it's written from the book of James. So when that preacher is speaking, I'm hearing all types of AA, all in it. I'm hearing God's love come through AA. You know, I'm convinced that God had a hand all over this big book. Take a look at it. There's people on this meeting right now from all over the world. Our common denominator is this book that was released in 1939. And it relates to all of us in 2026. This book relates to all of us in 2026. How did Bill write about us? He didn't know us. It was one alcoholic sharing his story with another alcoholic and another alcoholic and Dr. Bob and so many of the other pioneers in the big book that went on to start meetings and to share their story. This book, as it's written and laid out, is able to share. We're all able to see ourselves in that book at some point in time. Remember in the beginning of this, I said, look for the similarities, not the difference. And if you've read this book, and this is for all you day counters that are new, your first time to the program, the ones that are coming back. Let me share with you that if you'll read this book, really get into this book and read it, you'll find yourself in here. And not only will you find yourself in here, you'll find a way out. So when I was at the halfway house, when I got released and Tim became my sponsor, the first thing that I had to start doing was I had to start reading 86 to 88. On 86, it says own awakening. And it's the way that we start our day. See, Marvin and Tim both taught me that this book is a textbook for people that don't know how to live. You see, I don't know how to live. I wake up in the morning and my mind's going 100 miles an hour. I got to do this. I got to do that. I got to take care of this. I got to take care of that. I got to get to work. I don't got time to pray. I don't got time to do anything. I got to do this. I got to do that. But see, this book's designed that if I do 86, when I wake up, and I've been doing that now for 19 years, this book lays right beside my bed. The first thing I do is I wake up, I set up my bed, and I get this book, and I turn it to 86, and I read 86 to 88, and I read it. I take my finger and literally read it. Yeah, after 19 years, I can say it. No, I read it. The subconscious mind, it tells me in there that this has become a working part of the mind. And that's true with anything, folks. If you do something repetition over and over and over, it becomes a working part of your mind, period. You got to believe what this book says because it's true. It works. It works if you work it. That's not just a saying, it's the truth. And this is how that I learned that people stay in this program. I had a grand sponsor named Clancy I. He died with 63 years of continuous sobriety, one day at a time. You know, this program works. My sponsors now, they both have 40 years of sobriety. It works. So I do this every single morning, and it says that we consider our plans for the day. That's the first thing it says. Upon awakening, we consider our plans for the day. Guess what that does? That puts the brakes on already. I stop a minute. I consider my plans before my brain runs off. And then the next thing it says is that we ask God to help us. And you see, now today, that God is so deep inside me. That relationship is so big. It's not really like the relationship I was ever raised with. Today, I have a personal relationship with the God of my understanding, which is the Lord Jesus Christ. That's for me, not anyone, you know, not anyone else. You know, today I'm on the board of my church. This morning at 6 o'clock, I was at a sunrise service. How about that for a guy that showed up here hopeless with the creator of a butterfly? Is his higher power. You know, God has just guided me and led me all through this program, everything through this program, my sponsorship, my sponsees, all this. I can see God's hands all in all of it. All I had to do was move out of the way and say, "Help me, God."
2 minutes, friend.
All I've got to do every morning is move out of the way and say, "Help me, God. Show me your will, not mine. Guide me." You know, I love the way that my sponsor always closes. He told me I can use it. So I'm going to use it until I find something better. But just keep in mind that a bell is not a bell until you ring it. A song is not a song until you sing it. Love wasn't put in your heart to stay. Love is only love when you give it away. I love all of you. Thank you so much for letting me share with you.